Exploring the Word of God together allows us to share in the joy that comes from discovering the words of hope and salvation which overflow from our Bibles. Upper Room Media presents to you this educational, enlightening, and entertaining Bible study. Prepare to be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So 1 John chapter 4 is a really beautiful chapter. And the whole overarching theme of 1 John is love, love for God and love for neighbour. And in particular, in 1 John 4, this theme comes up again and again. So we might just start from verse 7, which says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not know love does not know God, for God is love." Verse 8 in particular is a very famous verse. If I know nothing about Christianity, nothing about the church, haven't been to Sunday school in years, and just somebody asks you, tell me something about something related to God and the church, we all say, God is love. Right? If you go blank, if you don't know the answer to the question, God is love. And we get it from this verse 8. But we often forget the part before it. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If I don't love others, that means I don't know God, because God is love. God is not loving. God is not, you know, lovable. He is love. And so if I don't love, whether it's my friend or my enemy, then it means that I don't know God. And that's something that we really have to stop and take seriously. Because a lot of the time, I will accept a lack of love towards others and give it a label that makes me comfortable. Like, we don't see eye to eye, or we're different, or it's a personality clash, or we don't have common interests. So it's okay that, you know, I don't like that person, I don't love that person, it's okay. And so we make ourselves more comfortable and soothe our conscience when there is a deep problem, a lack of love. Why is a lack of love a deep problem? Because it means that I don't know God. But if I knew who God is, and if I knew that every single person that I encounter day by day is his son or his daughter, then I'll love them. If I don't love, then I don't know God, for God is love. And it's not easy to just say, okay, flick on a switch, and now this person that's pushing my buttons, that I clash with, you know, we don't share an opinion about anything, all of a sudden you're telling me to love them. It's not easy, and God understands that. He knows our weakness. He came as flesh and understands and knows us more than we know ourselves. But at the very least, that has to be my target by God's grace. If I just accept, you know, that me and this person, we just don't get along, I don't love this person doesn't love me. If I just accept that that is my reality, then I'm tying up God's hands and saying and preventing him from intervening. But if I beg him, pour out my heart before him and say, Lord, you've called me to love everybody. You've called me to love you. You said clearly in your scripture that if I don't love, then it means that I don't know you. Lord, I am struggling to love this person. Help me to love them. Help me to see the good in them. Put your love in my heart for that person. Then maybe one day, by God's grace, I will love them. Whereas if I just accept, hey, that's him or her, and this is me, we're different, then I tie up God's hands. And I lack love towards that person, and I lack the knowledge of who God is. And knowledge is not as in information, knowledge is in intimacy, knowledge is in relationship, knowledge is in an encounter with God himself. Verse 9, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent us his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means, you know, like an offering that is made. An offering that is made to just kind of satisfy the wrath of God. That's the literal definition of it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. In the same way that God loves us, I should love others. In the same way. And what are the characteristics of God's love? In the same way, if God loved us, we ought to love one another. Number one, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. The love of the world is, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. If you love me, then I'll love you. If you treat me with respect, then I'll treat you with respect. If you talk nicely about me, I'll talk nicely about you. But the love of God is that He loved us first. First, He loved us. And so this should be my love for other people. Don't wait for them to do something. Don't wait for them to love you. If we are of God, then we must love like Him. And His love comes first. Don't wait to reciprocate. Initiate. This is God's love. He loves first. Secondly, He loves without condition. If you think about it, when He was on the cross, offering up Himself, dying for us, He loved us. In the midst of our sin, in the midst of the rejection of the people, He loved them and He prayed for them. So His love was unconditional. So my love similarly must be unconditional for people. Doesn't depend on how they treat me, or you know, but it depends on whose son or daughter they are, and they are the son or daughter of Christ. And thirdly, His love is sacrificial. You know, you can't love somebody from a distance. If any of you have been in a long-distance relationship or know somebody who has been, it's really hard. It's very hard to love somebody from a distance. You know, there's only so many flowers that you can send, or so many memes you can tag them in, or whatever, you know. But after a while, you run out of things. And a lot of the time, we try to offer people this love that is from a distance. But God's love was a sacrificial love, was an intimate love, was a love where He gave us Himself. So our love must also be sacrificial if we are to love like God. Sacrifice my comfort. You know, and we all do that for our friends. Like, you know, it's cold and it's dark and I just want to be at home watching movies. But, you know, I don't want to bail on my friend. So I'll sacrifice my comfort for the sake of my friend. Let me sacrifice that comfort for the sake of my God in prayer. And let me sacrifice that comfort by God's grace for the sake of my enemy, for the sake of someone that I don't even know. So God's love is intimate, it is sacrificial, it is a love of initiative. It is, you know, it's unbelievable love. And this is the love that we are called to replicate. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Holy Spirit, of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. A common question is, I feel very distant from God. I don't even know where to start in terms of developing a relationship with Him. Or even like I do all the stuff. Like I pray my psalms and I read the Bible and I attend church, but I still feel that God is very far away from me. I feel nothing. Am I talking to a brick wall? And there's a really simple and beautiful answer in this chapter. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Do you want to abide in God? Do you want God to feel close, to intimacy, then abide in love and you will abide in God. Very simple formula. Abide in love and you will abide in God. Love God and love others. Let that love be unconditional. Let that love be intimate. Let that love be sacrificial. Abide in that love. And if we abide in that love, then we will abide in God. A question that plagues humanity is, what's the purpose of my life? Everybody asks this question. If you haven't asked that question of yourself at some stage, there's something wrong. Why? Why am I here? Why do I wake up tomorrow? Why am I studying? Why am I working? Why am I doing anything? And we all go through that from time to time. And Jesus was asked, like, what's the most important thing? What's the most important commandment? There's so many commandments. What's the most important one? And he said, love. Love God, love neighbor. Love your God with all your heart and all your soul and all that verse that you know well, and love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two hang all the law of the prophets. Upon these two commandments hang all the other commandments of Christianity. Love God, love neighbor. What's the purpose of my life today? Love God, love your neighbor, and you'll be fulfilled. If I abide in love, then I abide in God. And once I abide in God, what need do I have of anything else? If somebody abides in God, do they lack purpose? Do they lack direction? Do they lack satisfaction? Do they lack anything? It's impossible. My purpose is to abide in God here, and then I continue that abiding in Him for eternity in heaven. And the way to abide in Him is to love, because God is love. Love God, love your neighbor. And if I wake up every morning and I beg the Lord, Lord, today, give me an opportunity to love you and to love my neighbor. That's my purpose for today, to love you and to love my neighbor. In whatever capacity, I may encounter my neighbor in my studies or in my work or, you know, whatever it is, the pizza delivery guy. But that's my purpose. I want to love you today and to love my neighbor today, whoever that person is. I want to abide in love. And if I abide in love, then I abide in God. And if I abide in God, I have purpose, I have direction, I have satisfaction, I have confidence, security. All of these things that God alone can give. It's a wonderful chapter, fills us with hope, fills us with joy. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is not. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If somebody says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has... Sorry. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And again, St. John is repeating the principle. In case we missed it the first time, he repeats it for us at the conclusion of the chapter. St. John tells us, okay, you love God, that's great. But let's forget about God for a second and talk about your brother, your sister, somebody, you know, from work. Somebody in your family that you don't get along with. Let's talk about them for a second. How can you claim to love God whom I can't see tangibly, can't see with my naked eye, when you're incapable of loving somebody who's sitting right in front of you? How can you claim to love the unseen when we can't love the seen? In case we missed it again, he says to me, actually, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. Claiming that you love God and hating your brother, you're a liar.
And why is St. John being so harsh with us? Why is he being so harsh with us? Why is he calling me a liar? It's not to make me go home upset. It's not to lower my self-esteem.
Thank you. Why? Why, St. John, are you calling me a liar? It's for no other reason than to wake me up, than to make me realize that something is not right. What I've accepted, what has become normal, what's my reality, that's not God's reality. To say of somebody, anybody, I don't love that person, that makes me a liar if I claim that I love God. How can I love the one that is unseen when I can't love the seen? St. John tells us. So, if we leave this chapter with two messages, the first is that God is love. Do you feel distant from God? Do you feel like you don't, you know, he's far away? Then St. John gives us a very simple formula. It's because God is love, if you abide in love, you will abide in God. If you love God and love others, God will be very close to you. You'll see his hand. You'll see his direction. You'll hear him talking to you as you read the scriptures. You'll feel secure. You'll feel like you have purpose. You'll feel like there's direction. Is God far away? That means there's lack of love in my life. Love God and love others. And love in the way that God himself loves. His love initiates. He loved us first. This is the way that I should love others. Don't wait for them. His love is unconditional. His love is intimate. It's not a long-distance relationship love. It's an intimate love. And his love is sacrificial. So let my love be the same way. And if I wake up every morning and I beg the Lord, Lord, I want to love you and I want to love others in this way, in the way that you loved us, then I will abide in love. And if I abide in love, then I will abide in God. And secondly, it's a reminder for all of us. Is there somebody that I'm holding a grudge with? Is there somebody that I'm having difficulty loving? Somebody that, if she's coming, I'm not going. If so, today is the day. Today is the day to love. Today is the day to let that go. Today is the day to forgive, to make a fresh start, to love that person in the way that God loves me. And if I do that, the beneficiary is me. Because right now, that lack of love is a barrier. It's preventing me from experiencing God's love, from abiding in God. It's preventing me. And there are many of you even sitting here now who've experienced this, held a grudge, been upset with somebody. Let it go and then experience this wave of God's love. So let it go today. If I claim that I love God, but I don't love my brother, St. John tells me, you're a liar. You're a liar and you don't really love God, because if you loved God, then you would love his children. It's a beautiful verse. I encourage you to go home and read it one more time. And next time somebody asks you, what's the purpose of my life? Easy, love God, love my neighbor. Next question, thanks. And glory be to God forever.
Thanks, Abuna. Does anyone have any questions for Abuna?
Sorry. I always struggle with that verse where it says, how can you say you love God if you hate your brother? Because like people are the ones who hurt us. Like people are the ones who like insult us. Like God's never done anything wrong to me. It's people who like have given that reason for me to, you know, be upset at them.
What are your thoughts about that?
So it's a very fair question. God's never done anything bad to me. God's never sworn at me. or like posted an embarrassing picture of me on Facebook, or, you know, God's never done anything, but people do that, right? So fair enough that sometimes I don't love people, but I... So what do you guys think? James?
I think it's easy, like, if Jesus never thought about his salvation and his love for people who just about his face, then there's
a... Yeah. So if you didn't hear it, if Jesus never held back his love from people, even who spat in his face, then neither should we. Perfect. Any other thoughts? Yeah, so I think James's answer is really spot on. My love is supposed to be like God's love. And if we observe Christ's love while he was here on this earth, he loved people. Even the people who hated him, who spit on him, who crucified him, he loved them. So God is not telling me to do something that's beyond me. He's not, and this is one of the beauties of Christianity. This is one of the beauties of Christianity. God is not, you know, our God is not a God who sits on a throne from a distance and tells us what we should and shouldn't do. He does it. He fasts and he's baptized and he prays and he forgives. And then he says, go and do the same. So, yes, people push my buttons, but they also push Jesus' buttons. And he calls us to have that same love. So next time I feel that, look, I feel I'm entitled to dislike this person, I compare myself to Christ. Say, Lord, how entitled were you to dislike that person and to turn your back on that person? Help me to love like you loved. So Jesus does it. He tells us, like, yes, you've got a point, but he set the example for us and we have to follow. So that's a perfect answer, James.
Any more questions? All right, time for hymns.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media.